The theme of today's homily is Rebuild My Church. Rebuild My Church. You might know the story. At the end of the beginning of the 13th century, a young man by the name of Francis went to a church called Saint Damiano. And in Saint Damiano Church, there was a crucifix, and Jesus spoke to Francis from this crucifix and said, "Francis, rebuild my church." Now, Saint Damiano was in disrepair, and so he thought he was just to rebuild this little chapel. But he came with time to realize that the Lord was asking him to do a much greater work, to help rebuild the church, not just the physical church, but the very heart of the church. That was in the 13th century. Back in 2013, in March of that year, there were a group of cardinals gathered in Rome to choose the next pope. And as part of the conclave, one of the things that would happen, there would be what are called interventions, where a cardinal would speak as to what he saw as the future of the church and what the pope was called to exercise. And this particular intervention was given by a man named Jorge Bergoglio. And as he spoke, this is part of what he said in the words that the Holy Spirit had given to him. He said, "The evils that over time appear in church institutions have their root in self-referentiality, a kind of theological narcissism." You know the myth of Narcissus, that he was so taken with his appearance as he looked into the pool that he fell into the water and drowned. That's narcissism. And here, Cardinal Bergoglio said, the church falls into a kind of evil when it has this type of theological narcissism, an inward kind of position. And then he goes on to say, Jesus says that he's at the door and calling. This is in Revelation chapter 3, and it says that he's knocking on the door so that we would open it to him, to let him in. But I sometimes think that Jesus is knocking from the inside for us to let him out. Jesus is knocking on the inside for us to let him out. The self-referential church presumes to keep Jesus Christ for itself and not to let him out. Without being aware of it, he went on, the church becomes self-referential when it comes to believe it has its own light and ceases to be the mystery of the moon. And then he said, this phrase, the mystery of the moon, was used by the early church fathers to describe how, just as the moon is lackluster, lacking light of its own, but at night shines brightly as it reflects that of the sun, so the church has no other purpose than to reflect Christ. In a biography I'm reading on Pope Francis, the author states that after the cardinals heard these words, they realized this is the man who should be the next pope, and he was elected pope. And then, of course, for the first time in the history of the papacy, he took the name Francis, because he understood that in our day, there's a particular call on the church to be rebuilt, to stop being self-referential. It's because of that kind of self-referentiality that we could have things like a sex abuse scandal in the church. The crises that have left so many people feeling alienated and distant from the church because the church has not lived up to her most high calling. Now, this is nothing new. It is the very thing that Jesus is addressing in today's gospel. Jesus goes into the temple, he looks around, and then he leaves and he goes to Bethany to be with his good friends, Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And then he comes back to the temple. And he goes into the area that's called the Court of the Gentiles. This is the area where non-Jews were able to come so that they could worship God. But what it had been turned into was a marketplace where people were making a lot of money for themselves. The temple had become self-referential. And what does Jesus do? He quotes two passages from the Old Testament. First, from the prophet Isaiah, right at the end of the prophet Isaiah, where the prophet is looking to the day when God will be a light to all the nations, so all people can come to God. And he says, quoting this, "My house shall be a house of prayer for all nations." And then he quotes Jeremiah chapter 7, "But you have made it a den of robbers." In other words, the temple was doing the exact thing it was not supposed to do. And Jesus overturns the tables and says, "No, this is not right." But here's the beautiful thing. He then goes on to say, "Now, if you pray and you desire to do the will of my Father, he will answer your prayer. He will make it possible for the temple to become what it is supposed to be. He will make it possible for the church to become what we are supposed to be, reflecting the light of the moon, to be a light in a dark world." And so this is why Jesus says these words. "If you do not doubt, but believe that what you say will come to pass, it will be done for you." To rebuild the church is something that we're always called to. But we need to have the ears to hear. We have to have the heart to desire, and then the feet and the hands to act. And when this happens, then the people of God are able to live as expressed so beautifully in our first reading from Sirach. And here the author is speaking of those who are truly godly, but are forgotten by the world. But they are not forgotten by God. For God is always faithful to his promise, and God will always fulfill his purpose. So let me end by reading these words again, and let's think about this in relation to who we are. As we try to live the life that Christ calls us to, St. Peter's Parish in Calgary, Alberta, made up of godly men and women whose righteous deeds have not been forgotten. Their wealth will remain with their descendants and their inheritance with their children's children. Their descendants stand by the covenants, their children also for their sake. Their offspring will continue forever, and their glory will never be blotted out. What glory? The glory of the Son of God. Don't we want to be part of the rebuilding of the church? Don't we want to have the vision of our Holy Father, Pope Francis, to be a people after God's own heart?